after his health started failing, he said, I no longer have a reason for living. And I couldn't help but think of that when we were sharing Kendra. That was just... And there's a fellow named... This is not the sermon for tonight, but there's a fellow named Jaco Pastorius. You ever heard of him? This is too loud, by the way. He was a real famous bass player. Just a prodigy on the bass. Played all kind of fantastic things. Could make it do everything, but stand up and at one point he said, I've done the most radical things on bass, and I've played the most radical places from thousands of screaming people. I've done it all.
Should you choose to accept it, take the rubber band, put it over your index finger. Yes. This one, index finger. Pointy finger. Yes. Pull rubber band. Do not shoot at neighbor. No. Who is my neighbor? No. Put it way down at the base of your finger, okay? Got that? Give it a half turn, okay? Stretch it, there we go. In front of your middle finger and over to your ring finger. That is the, you got it? So that it is crossed in front, right? You got it? From one finger to the other. Not very difficult, you all are college students, okay, or graduates. Got it? It can go in front or in back, but preferably in front. Okay, have you all got it? All right, is it down at the base of your fingers? Is your circulation being cut off?
Good, okay, now your assignment. Do not use your other hand or your mouth and remove this rubber band.
Do not use your other hand or your mouth or, you see, you know, just do it. Good. You got it? Smaller bands? Okay, you got it? Working at it? You got it right. Good. Aha. Good. Good. Okay, now put it in back of the middle finger and do the same thing. It doesn't come off. How does that feel? What? You can't use your neighbor's hand. How many of you use your neighbor's hand? Put it back on. How many of you guys are stuck? You got a few stuck people? How's that feel? How's that? Okay, shh. How's that? Shh. It's frustrating, isn't it? Any of you experience frustration as you're doing that? Raise your hand if you experience frustration trying to get this off. Good. That's the whole point. Now, shoot your rubber band into the air. Okay, great.
Good, whoa.
Not at my coffee. Now have 1,000 screaming rubber bands. Guess what I'm going to be doing tomorrow morning? Did I ever tell you about the time John David... No, sorry. I'll save that one for more condemning time, but frustration. Negative emotion experienced as a result of blocked goals. How erudite. Frustration. A negative emotional state resulting from blocked goals. I'm trying to get that little thing off and move on. You experience frustration? How do we normally react to frustration? Yeah. Anger. Isn't that neat? You get angry? How do you deal with it on the freeway? Huh? Don't shoot, I'll pull over, you know? I remember one time a friend, some of you know Becky Warner. She was, I like that term firecracker, that was good, firecracker. She's kind of a firecracker. One time she was getting the worst of it in a verbal tete-a-tete, you know, where you kind of like joking back and forth, and she's busy trying to slam people, and it wasn't working because she was getting worked. She was so frustrated. She was just getting it from all angles because she had really opened herself up. She's like, oh, isn't that? And this poor guy, Chip Cimino, just walks in the door, and she walks over, bam, and just slugs him. He's going, thanks, Beck, you know. You ever done that? Guys, how many of you take your frustrations out on your tires? I don't know what it is with guys, but we have this thing about abusing our cars when we're mad. You know? Like somehow Winston or Michelin or Bridgestone did something to you. Like you're mad at Sam Winston, you know? Something, you're mad at your tires. Have you ever thought about the logic of that? I'm really frustrated, so I'm going to destroy what I just paid $10,000 for. How many of you break things? Throw things? I remember one time, it was about this time last year, near St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. Cece's niece, Eva, didn't get what she wanted. There's this little green hat on the floor. This girl's like 2 years old, year and a half old. Over. Boom! Kicks the hat all the way down the hall. This girl does not even know how to talk at this point, but she knows to kick hats when she's mad. Kick the dog syndrome. You ever had kick the dog syndrome? How many of you are the youngest sibling in the family? You know all about kick the dog syndrome. I am the youngest sibling in a family. I know all about kick the dog syndrome. My brother is quite a bit larger than I am. I know all about kick the dog syndrome. This is not unusual. Kind of a universal human experience, isn't it? Turn over in your Bibles. You have your Bibles? Acts chapter 12. Now last week, what did we see happen? Anybody have a synopsis of what we covered last week? Praying. What was the story with Peter? Why were they praying for him? He's out of jail. To get out of jail, rather. Why did they want him to get out of jail? Herod was going to kill him. Why? He wanted to make the Jews happy. He just got done, it said, putting James to the sword. He's going to get Peter. But what happened? How did he get out? Angel appeared in the middle of the night, bam, it says smote him on the side. I like this, get up, you know. Not, good morning, Peter, but get up, put your clothes on, come on, you know. And out they walk, he waltzes out, and he gets free, and he goes to the door of the place where they're praying, you know.
How's it feel?
You're mad. He says, no, it's Peter. You see. It's his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And they went out and they got him. And he came in and he said, shh. And we pick up chapter 12, verse 60. But Peter continued knocking. When they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hands to be silent, I just got out of jail. He described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, tell this to James and to the brethren. Then he departed and went to another place. Now, verse 18, Verse 18, now when day came, there was no small stir among the soldiers over what had become of Peter.
Were you sleeping? Weren't you sleeping in there?
I was tired. You know, I don't know. No small stir. Verse 19, and when Herod had sought for him and could not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and remained there. Somebody is pounding. You know how they examined people in those days? How they examined people in those days? With a whip. That's how they examined people in those days.
Herod gets up in the morning and goes, oh, I think it's a great day for this.
Bring in Peter.
Mr. Herod, sir. Mr. Herod, sir.
Yeah.
We don't know where Peter is.
He wants to execute them, and he cannot find him. He brings those guys in, and he has them whipped. Where's Peter?
I was just sleeping, you know.
Kill him. I'm going to Caesarea. And he runs off to the coast, and he pouts. Nice guy. Kind of a dangerous thing to get king's angry. This was not uncommon. Days. The worst job to have would be a messenger of bad news. You come and tell a king bad news, what happens to you? Like burning the phone. You don't like the message. Or kicking the dog. It's not too fun. These sentries were innocent. Wasn't their fault. I mean, what are you going to do?
Excuse me, Mr. Angel, sir.
No, can't take this prisoner. You know, doesn't work. Why do you think kings would like that? Why do you think kings would execute people and they didn't like what they bore? Control issue. Somebody's been around counseling, haven't they?
That's a control issue. That's what it is.
Come here, sit down. Let me
analyze you. Did you love your mother?
No, sorry. Control issue. Yeah, kings are used to having their way, huh? Why? Because they're kings. Good for you guys. They're kings. They're spoiled, aren't they? And Herod is spoiled. Why does a king get his way? Because a king is the center of his world. The king is the king. I'm the king. I do what I want. Want to execute a prisoner? I can get that prisoner. Don't cross me. Proverbs 16:14 says, king's wrath is a messenger of death, and those that are wise will appease it. Good advice, isn't it? King's wrath is as a messenger of death. Those that are wise will appease it. Kings are the very centers of their worlds, just like center of his world. There's no child. It's not a good sign. Dangerous thing to make a child. You can see Herod saying, I'm a king. Don't jack with me. Verse 20. Now, Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And they came, it doesn't say why, he just was angry, but I guess that's, you're right when you're a king. And they came to him in a body, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. It's a dangerous thing to make a king mad, especially when he's the one who supplies you with food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and made an oration. This is clout. I'm the king. They made me mad. They will bend. They will conform to my wishes. Never use clout. You ever said that person is going to bend? That person will bend. They. Counseling couples.
investment will vanish. What if all this kind of leverage? Not you guys, but who else? True, wonderful people. You ever leveraged on somebody? You ever said, I'm going to make them miserable until they turn into the how dare they? I'm the one with power. I'm the one who will be powerful. They need more than I will make them. The sad thing is it happens to us.
It works for Herod. He gets them to come and to make peace. And then he sits down in all of his royal regalia, and what does he do? He lectures them. He gives them a royal address. Sit down, shut up, and listen. I'm going to tell you just exactly what I want you to hear. He has them where he wants them. He's right. All the royal clouds. In his robes, on his throne, making his speech. Verse 22. He makes an oration to the rest of them. And the people shouted, the voice of a god and not of a man. Boy, talk about butter, huh? Oh, it's a god, not a man. It's wonderful. This is uncle. This is saying, uncle, uncle, we give. That's sweet, isn't it? You make somebody bend. They have to give in and they have to admit that you're right. Makes them not only say uncle, but say, yes, you're right, and you're wonderful for making us do this. They really have to kiss up because he supplies them. They need to do this in order to survive. He knows it, and he's got it. Verse 23. Immediately an angel of the Lord smote him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms. Prayer works immediately. Smoke means hit. Angel of the Lord went, stuck up, proud, egotistical king. He went, don't you love it? God saw. God saw. The height of this guy's power, God saw. Daniel 4, it tells an interesting story. There's this dream. The king had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar was the emperor of the world at that time. And the account says that Nebuchadnezzar had this dream that he didn't understand, where a great big tree was cut down and bound with iron bands. He goes, I don't understand this thing. And Daniel ended up being the one giving the interpretation. He goes, king, this is a real bummer. He says, this dream is for your enemies. Goes, you don't really want to hear this. The king insisted. He goes, well, king's, the dream's about you. He says, you're going to get hungry. Not good. Not good. You're going to get cut down low. And you're going to eat grass like an ox. Not cool, you know. Just my advice to you is to repent and be real humble for a while. It says for a year. Everything was kosher. And then it says one day Nebuchadnezzar was walking out on the top of his palace and he looked out and he said, is this not magnificent Babylon which I have built with my mighty hand and my stretched out arm and my majesty? And immediately it says a voice from heaven
said,
it's done.
Watchers. We don't know anything about who these watchers are, but it says the watchers.
The watchers.
A decree. You will keep fast for a season. And immediately he went mad. He went, thought he was an ox, and went out in the field. Fingernails grew long. His hair grew out like feathers. Turn over, if you would, to chapter 4 of Daniel, and we'll hear how it ended. Daniel, it's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Daniel. That far in. Daniel chapter 4. Start it. Let's get a running start. This is just too good. You know, we're going to read it. This is too good. Verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and the king said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power, as a royal residence before for my glory and my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. 7 times shall pass over you, until you have learned that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to whom he will. And immediately the word was fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forevermore. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what do you do? At the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. For all his works are right, and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. Isn't that great? Herod didn't get one of those chances. Just Nebuchadnezzar went, I think I learned. Not good. You know, the joke about Herod is that Herod wasn't even a real king. He was what's called a tetrarch, which is kind of like a county sheriff. The Romans were in power. He wasn't even a real king. He was a tetrarch. He had power in his own little section, like Orange County. He was like the king of Orange County, you know? Big deal. He was a sub-king to another king. Was sub-king to the emperor. He was also sub-king to God. But he was a sub-sub-sub-king. He thought he was good stuff. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be cut off. And that without remedy. every right you have, every talent you have, everything that you can do, every advance you have in your relationship. If he wants to defend you, that's his time. But don't you do it yourself. Don't you suck up the glory and say, yeah, I'm somebody. Likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed. Think on your day today. Think on your week. This week, be clothed yourself with one another. Have you stuck up for yourself? But wait a minute, who's going to watch out for me? You know what the next verse after? Clothed humility is? Casting all your greatest strength is to take the blow. The greatest humility is to show it. Your sign for this week. Do I hear a big amen? You know what? Give in, even when the other person doesn't know you're giving in, and don't tell them that you're giving in. Just give in. Don't have it. Remember that they mocked Christ.